Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spela. Just.
It's the Christmas Cup Final Special, episode 286 of 20 Minute Tims. I'm your host, Jamie. I'm joined by Mark Melly.
You are?
And Stephen.
Feliz Navidad.
Oh, it's Christmas time. What, lads?
Oh, look at the star up.
Just an example of some of the festivities.
Festive cheer, yeah.
That we have here. It is, well, it's nearly Christmas. This is, by all accounts, our Christmas special. Now, what makes it special? Nothing, really.
the sleigh bells and the intro music that people already have heard. I'm going to put in later. That's what makes it Christmassy. That's the difference between an episode and a Christmas episode.
Proximity to Christmas. Stephen, you're wearing a Christmas jumper.
I am, yep.
I'm wearing a winter jumper.
Yep. Look like a little lighthouse man.
I do, it's true. And Melly, you're just wearing a hoodie. I've made no effort whatsoever. Listen, this episode of 20 Minute Tims is obviously brought to you by patreon.com/20minutetims, where you can support this podcast in exchange for extra content. If you like what we do and you want to hear more from us, patreon.com/20minutetims. It's as easy as that. And anyone who was on Patreon, all subscribers on Patreon, get match reaction podcasts. That's where we go over the match that just happened. That's what happened yesterday. One of the best match reaction podcasts of the season, if I must say so.
Oh.
Myself, absolutely loved listening to it. But how much did you enjoy actually being at the game?
Oh, it's tremendous. That's what Stephen was just saying beforehand. He's like, do you know what? I'm not going to slag Hampden anymore because it is what you make it when you're in there. And the atmosphere was brilliant yesterday. Celebrations were brilliant. And you're just like, nah, this is the start of something. That was tremendous yesterday.
Hampden, as I said before we turned the mics on, I'm going to stop complaining about it because it's actually quite a spoiled and obnoxious attitude to have towards success for your club, isn't it? I know it is. It will never stop being a pain in the ass to get to and from, but the atmosphere yesterday was absolutely tremendous. It was, you know what? I'm going to say something controversial, but that, for obvious reasons, it's a cup final, but that's better than anything we've had at home, I would say.
This season,
it was absolutely brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The songs were tremendous. The songs were carried throughout the crowd.
Susan McGuire enjoyed the songs.
they were carried throughout the entire section of Celtic fans rather than coming from one corner and maybe spreading out from there. It felt
you know what else, Stephen?
What?
Flares. Loads of flares.
Yep.
Can't beat
which
it.
Which we don't condone on this. Wink.
Hibs fans had a flare. Did you see that? Did you see that video? The video was, how long does it take for a flare to go out? The Hibs fans, but when they scored, right, they lit the flare and threw it on the park before the flare had fizzled out, Celtic had scored. Listen, I'm going to apologise for the cold that I've had for a month. So I'm just going to keep it going. I thought yesterday, my overwhelming emotion after it was just, I was just pleased. I was pleased for Ange, pleased for Kyogo, pleased for Callum McGregor, pleased for Joe Hart, pleased for us as fans because we're back, baby. You know, back winning things. It feels like the start of something. Now, it's still, you know, quite early and people will look back at this if the whole season goes tits up, which I don't think it will, and go, oh, you said it was a start or something, because that's just the way.
It'll be one of those cups that don't matter. Like, we've won them in the past. Martin O'Neill's last game, we won a cup and nobody cares about it.
There was one shocking game.
The John Barnes season as well, won a cup, nobody cares about it. Nobody remembers it. So it could
has
the
potential. Tell that to Vidar Rousseff.
it just doesn't feel like that under Ange.
No.
I was a wee bit nervous. We did the cup final breakfast. It was like a live preview, sort of cross between the Sunday supplement type thing. It was a new thing we tried for Patreon. And before the game, and I just thought, I was a wee bit nervous, especially with the lineups and who was going to play and how we were going to approach the game. And then the David Gray factor and Hibs and all that sort of stuff. Everything that was playing into the game, I thought it was going to be a tight and tricky encounter. And that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, we spoke about it. We've talked about, like, most finals we've been in recently have been won by the odd goal, haven't they? You'd need to go back to maybe in Cham in the double treble where we beat Motherwell 2-0. There's been finals like that, but most of them, Aberdeen, Rangers, like this one, Hearts, it's all been close games. And it was sort of at that final, at the final whistle, I was really emotional and I was trying to figure out why. And when we were talking after the game, Stephen, I sort of figured it out because it did feel at the start of something. Normally, with the quadruple treble, it was amazing, but you just sort of get used to it. And then you had last season and it just, it's a clean slate now. There's basically none of the players. Ange's in, it's a new team here. And they were watching this and I was just looking at all those guys you just named. You could look at every player and go, you know what, you all deserve this. The management, even like guys like John Kennedy and Gavin Strachan as well, maybe sort of people are maybe changing their opinions on them as well. It's just feels like something
new. At least I've stopped talking about Gavin Strachan's bloody laptop now.
But it was just watching that game. I usually, when Celtic have a big result of that, I always think straight away about my dad. But with this one, I was like, whoa, this feels a wee bit different because it feels like it's a new start for all these players. And when you said something yesterday, Stephen, that I was thinking about today, you're like, you know what, I'm all in, and Ange, I have been, but I'm just here for the ride now, strap me in. And I was thinking, you know what, I don't even want strapped in for this, just let it go and see what happens. There's no seatbelt needed. It's going to be some ride. It's already been some ride. And look, Celtic may or may not win the league, but after that game, after what you've seen the players and the fans, you're like going, we're going somewhere, but it's not as if it's just, oh, we won a cup. It feels like, right, okay, this is going to build towards something and we'll get there.
The game itself, as I said, it was a tricky encounter. It wasn't helped by, we had some sensational performances that we're obviously going to talk about. But it seems that every time Celtic wins something at the moment, the press coverage is, you know, and we'll talk about the Ross County game as well, but here it was, Celtic won this, and it was, Hibs were denied a Stonewall penalty by Starfelt, who was having a disaster, they missed an open goal, you know, this sort of stuff. And I suppose we might as well just look at it the negative, just get them out the way so we can have a full steam train of positive for the rest of the podcast. But Starfelt had a difficult game. He had a difficult game, right? But if I just find it astonishing that you talk about, or people talk about, the Starfelt incident and don't talk about the Greg Taylor one, because they were almost identical.
The penalties.
The penalty shouts. I think don't think Starfelt's was. I actually think the Greg Taylor incident was more a clear penalty than Starfelt, because I think Starfelt runs and makes contact by putting two hands in the back of the boy, right? And he falls over. But the referee allows play to go on, and Hibs having a shot at what is almost an open goal from about 5 yards out. If you imagine at that point the referee blew, Hibs would be going tonto about that. But whereas Greg Taylor was deliberately pushed over in the box and a corner comes in, and I've seen penalties given for that sort of thing. So I'm no swayed by these arguments for Hibs.
It turns itself over the course of a game, doesn't it? Celtic don't get the penalty. I thought they were both penalties. I didn't really see the Greg Taylor one, and I've seen the Starfelt one about a million times because it's been talked about so much, and it probably is a penalty. But at the end of the day, maybe you get a bit of luck, but we also had a lot of bad luck in that game. We had to ride out with not getting the penalty, with Turnbull going off injured, with Kyogo and Mikey Johnson having to go off, with, look at the team that finished that match, Starfelt having an absolute nightmare. There was things that went up against Celtic and they came through it in the end.
Starfelt did have an absolute nightmare, and I've been sticking up for him quite a lot, Starfelt. I'm a big fan of him. I still think he's a really good player, but he does have these quite poor games, and he's had a couple of them this week as well. He really struggled against Ross County, and he's starting to have a little bit of the Julien yips about him. You know, the kind of physical encounters don't really seem to suit him that much, which is surprising, seeing as he's played at a high level his entire career. He's played in Russia and all that, but there's no doubt he had a shocker. I do feel that, and it's a point I made before, but I think Starfelt's card has been marked in some regard. I think people made their mind up about him two games in because he had two terrible games. It was at Hearts and then that comical on goal against Alkmaar where he was dreadful in both games. But I think people have been waiting for this now.
Well, that's what was kind of going to come on to, because he had the bad start, he played his way through it, and then he had a bad game there, and it's like almost everyone's went, we knew he was crap.
Ignored the 14 good games he had in between. I find that a bit strange, because
and especially the press coverage talking about Celtic's, what was it, Hugh Keevan said about Celtic's?
An unmitigated disaster.
Best defence in the country, we know. Unbelievable.
It's a point I've been making for weeks. I don't want to keep repeating myself, but there is this default setting within maybe not only just the media, it's like a Scottish culture thing where the Celtic defence is bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter about the stats of it or the performances or the fact that we went about five games there, barely conceding a chance, never mind a goal. Throw that all out the window. A defender's had a difficult game in what might even be one of his only cup final appearances he's made in his entire career so far. He's had that, so that says back to being an unmitigated disaster. Quote, I repeat, unmitigated disaster of a defence.
Stop talking piss, you heathens.
It's not bad for an unmitigated disaster for the guy still to have his hand in the trophy, isn't it? It's not to cost him the game.
Oh, you stop scoring own goals, Starfield. Uh-huh. Jesus Christ, you need to take him off because he's scoring repeated own goals.
Do you think Joe Hart should have came for that cross?
It's a very obvious thing to say that if a ball comes anywhere near the 6-yard box, the keeper should be getting it. I don't know if it really often takes into account the fact that there are players in front of him and he might start off on the wrong foot. His weight distribution might not allow him to go, but if he's expecting a lower... Loads of things could happen. But when you see it from the side, it doesn't go all that close to the keeper, to be honest. No. It kind of swings out the way. What I would say is about it is that Celtic keep getting done with these crosses and or corners where a defender steals a run on the defence, and we really seem to be struggling with that just now. Easier said than done to defend against, because that is traditionally a very difficult thing to defend against, but it'd be kind of remiss of us to ignore the fact that it keeps happening to Celtic, to be honest.
It's a difficult one because we've had over the past two games where we've lost the goals from corners, but again, up until the end of the match, we barely conceded a chance again for this disastrous defence we so-called have. But the Starfelt one and the Ross County one, it's just simply Scales and Starfelt letting their men go. It's not as if it's disaster everywhere, nobody knows what they're doing. These two guys lost their men, and if they had to track them, it would have happened.
It wasn't like last season when we were every set piece was a threat and everybody looked as if they didn't know what they wanted to do. So look, Joe Hartman not had a good game for us. I just want to get the Hibs goal and this out the way so we can, as I say, get on the steam train of positivity. And listen, I'm immensely ill. Hot toddy CSC, but we're powering through.
Unprofessional. It's Christmas after all.
Well, it's Christmas special. Right. Celtic equalised, 14 seconds later or something. Callum McGregor, another terrific performance of Callum McGregor. Ball through to Kyogo, that first touch, oh my days, sticks it in the back of the net. And when you win a cup final, a player emerges from these cup finals, like a wee crown on their head, their name stamped into Celtic history. People are whispering his name as Kyogo, this is as good as ever. He's come out of that final after two tremendous goals, and there's no debate. That was the Kyogo final, and that first touch and goal was just what the guy was all about.
He's a superstar. There's no other way to put it. I've rarely seen a guy come in like this and just be so good. Even when you think back to the great man Henrik Larsson, his first season was okay, but then he became
Kyogo's better than Henrik Larsson.
No
official, there's your talking point.
Melly said that, clip
it. I'm going to make that the title of the episode as well. Kyogo better than Henrik Larsson, says influential pundit.
Influential. But just as you said, the first touch, and again, Kyogo get the headlines for that, but the two goals, it's the quick thinking and the invention, the absolute quality from Cal McGregor and Tom Rogic. When we've got players in our team, I seen Ryan McGowan, there was a clip about him, and he was talking about today, he was talking about when Ange had them at Australia, they lost a goal, and straight from the kickoff, they passed the ball back and didn't try to go forward. And they ended up winning the game, he said. But after the game, for about 20 minutes, Ange was going berating them, saying, if we lose a goal, the best chance we've got to get back in the game is to get straight back in it. So I do not want to see you go backwards. You go forward and you try and put them under pressure, because that teams will be still on a high. They'll maybe not be in possession. They'll not be concentrating as much.
Fans will still be celebrating.
Yes.
None of this is just by luck. It's all by design, this. It's all about him drilling this philosophy in that we don't stop. If they want to stop, that's when we win. And that clip just keeps coming up and coming up, and you're just going, this is what it's about. Because we could have had the head down. You're looking at that team and it's only really Callum McGregor and Tom Rogic in there that have been in these situations with Celtic before. But these players dragged us out of that, straight back into the game, gave Hibs nothing to cling on to. Like, literally seconds, the ball from McGregor was unbelievable. And Yolo's first touch with his left foot and the finish with the left foot. It's not even his strong foot either.
You know, sometimes we're really well taking goals. There's a breakdown of the build-up. There's this many passes and it started from this position in your own half. I feel like Kyogo's goals yesterday started from 1:45 when the teams were announced, because like the ripple through the fans, like the positivity.
Yeah.
His goals started the minute he was announced on that team sheet, because it was touch and go as to whether he was actually going to be fit for it or not. We've heard since the game that he probably wasn't.
Ange actually touched on it after game. He said, because he knows Kyogo and he knows the Japanese culture, he said that, you know, that they have a strong sense of their own responsibility. Right. And he said that Kyogo felt like it was his responsibility to be on the pitch that day. Yeah. He felt like it was his responsibility. He had to help the team, and he would have let himself down if he wasn't there. And he put that into action, and he ended up playing. Even some of the players after it were going, he's unbelievable. That's him playing with a hamstring strain.
That's what Nir Beaton was saying. Like, it's a miracle this guy's playing. He got injured 10 days ago, but he made sure he was there. And he said it gave us all a lift. And when you've got guys like that just busting themselves just to get onto the pitch for a final, because when we're looking at it, yes, Celtic have won like 5 out of 6 trophies, but guys like Kyogo and all these guys, new guys, this is the first one for Celtic. They've never experienced that before, and he wanted to be there.
You don't pick up for where you left off 2 years ago. You know, it's not immediately. No. The last season hurt. Last season definitely hurt Celtic. Last season would, and I don't doubt when some of the players, especially like Sir Callum McGregor, who I think took a lot of responsibility on himself for the game as well, when that first Hibs goal went in, there would have been part of Callum McGregor that went, shit. We can't walk out here, not again. But I just want to stay on Kyogo for a wee minute, because the guy's, he's an absolute superstar. He's absolutely unbelievable, and we're so lucky to have him.
I've been unwilling so far to get myself too carried away with it, but yesterday after the game when we were recording our post-match,
you took that seatbelt off,
I just let myself run absolutely wild with it, because I've been like, this is too good to be true, surely. There's no way we find a player like that for whatever absurd fee it was, 3-4 million or whatever, and he's this good. Surely this is just a weird purple patch, is the best form he's ever had in his career, and it'll die off at some point. He'll have that dip, and he'll probably leave at the end of the season for 3 million to Hearts. I don't know, right?
To Sean Maloney's Hibs.
Sean Maloney's Hibs. These are the kind of things that go through my head if I'll let them. But I'm done with it now. The guy's an absolutely unbelievable player, and I don't really care what ridiculous comparisons people care to make. Yeah.
Pile them on.
Run wild with it.
Full send with the even, Kyogo comparisons.
Is he better than Jota?
Yes, he's fair. I'll be back there again. Now, just like, talk about Larsson all you want. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to be anything like Larsson, but
he's got that. Sorry. I'm just excited to talk.
Yeah, I'm perfectly willing for him to be the best since, you know, because there's been plenty of strikers who have been great for Celtic since then, but I don't know if there's been anyone who ticks so many boxes who is going to be such an icon going forward.
He's
as Kyogo
exploded onto the scene,
yeah.
And he's exploded, and he just, there's quite often, I was just trying to think back, how many times has a player exploded onto the scene, first cup final, he's just grabbed that by the scruff of the neck, and he's taken the trophy. It was him, it was the Kyogo cup final, that second goal. Don't get lobbed though. See if you're going to by the way, if you're going to complain, right? So who was it? McGinn.
Paul McGinn, aye.
Paul McGinn. By the way, they're all clones. That whole McGinn family are clones. So Paul McGinn, right? I saw an interview with him. He was like, aye. There was a free kick that wasn't a free kick. And then the referee was standing with it. Fourth official was standing with the board up. And then someone very cleverly put up on social media the fact that that's actually not true, because Scott Allen wasn't stripped.
He was up in the stand.
He was up in the stand at the point. So this thing... It's by the by, though, because play to the whistle.
Yep.
For sure, play to the whistle. The free kick was in the Celtic half, and you're not stopping that lob anyway. Kyogo didn't even look at where the keeper was.
He took a word right out of my mouth. He didn't even look once.
He just went like, bump, I'll take it. And then before it hits the back of the net, he's wheeling away to celebrate.
The other thing about Kyogo as well.
That was Larsson.
it was Larsson. If you're going to go scoring those lobs, the comparisons are going to come. But another thing about him is, the way he's exploded onto the scene, as you just said, that there's no been any adaptation issues at all. Like, we've seen players from Sweden and they've been rotten for the first 6 months. Like Sweden, the Netherlands, any other the kind of Central European countries, North European countries, and they've taken ages to adapt. This guy's come from Japan. Japan having never played anywhere else, and he's just slotted straight in.
In fairness to him, he probably can't believe how shite some of the bums are in this league that he's coming up against. He's like that, texting his mates back home, by the way, you need to get your ass over here. This is money for old rope.
When we talk about Larson and him, like, it's because like his movement is so like Larson as well, and that's why like you can call the players bums if you want, but he's just more intelligent than I'll enjoy it. But he's more intelligent than them. He knows when to make the runs, like perfect runs. The first one he stayed on side, and the second one made that run. Doesn't need to look at the keeper. Doesn't need to take a touch. I mean, if you're looking at the Celtic team, if that was through to Mikey Johnson or Abada, that's not happening.
No, it's not happening.
He's the only guy on that pitch that probably could have done that.
Maybe
he wouldn't have ran, but. Damn. So would you, there's just so much quality in the guy.
I don't even see Edouard scoring that goal. And I thought Edouard was as technical a gift of the strikers we've seen since. Edouard would have taken it down and maybe moved it past the keeper. I don't see Edouard trying to pull off the lob.
I don't know. No, he did score the what's the keeper doing lob right enough at the Ibrox, didn't he?
Was that Dembele? I thought he said Dembele.
No, you're probably right then. I can't really think of any lobs Edouard scored. No.
You touched on Mikey Johnson and Abada. I think we were let down by a wing play, but this is a podcast of positivity. We're not going to get into it. We're just not going to touch on it this week. Cal McGregor, excuse me, keep it in. Cal McGregor's first trophy as Celtic captain. After the game, you could tell he was getting emotional about it. You could tell he was trying not to let it build up in the pre-game. That's what he said. He just wanted to get onto the pitch and get the job done. He kept congratulating the group. When the trophy came out, he made sure all the backroom staff and all that were involved in the trophy presentation.
That was class.
That was class.
Because he made sure every player and all the backroom staff were on it before he even took the trophy over. So it just feels like a collective, doesn't it?
I know. And that's the guy's a class act. He's really embraced this Celtic captaincy. Is exactly what we needed. And not only that, he doesn't just do the sort of showy, psychological dig and heart side of the game. He's a quality footballer. He's one of the best. He's consistently one of our best players.
Oh, yeah. Well, things are very different for him now. I'm not surprised he was emotional because there's a lot of pressure on him now because he's won loads and loads of trophies for Celtic. That's without doubt. No one can take that away from him. He's got those in the bank. He's won loads of trophies. This is his first one as a captain. Whatever happens now for the rest of his career, he is a trophy-winning Celtic captain. That might not seem like a big deal because we've had plenty of those in the past, but he's coming off the back of Scott Brown as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of pressure on Callum McGregor. Again, we've been hugely accepting of him as the new Celtic leader, but a lot of people at the time were like, that we can't replace Scott Brown, and you can't, but it was all a case of Callum McGregor's not got it. It was like he's not got the dig, he's not got this, he's not a leader, he doesn't bark orders and all that. But look at the example he sets at all times. He's a perfectly natural leader for Celtic.
He knows the standards that are required at this club, doesn't he? On and off the pitch.
Well, we seen that last year when we're having the disasters, and he was coming out and being honest in interviews saying we don't know what we're doing.
I forgot
here.
About that.
So when you look at him, and people were doubtful of him, which is fair enough because replacing Scott Brown, as you said, it's an impossible task, but you can be your own captain in your own way. And this is what the sort of modern captains are like. When you look at guys like Jordan Henderson, he never thought back in his early years he'd be a captain, but he's a class act on and off the pitch as well. It's about the example you set. And Cam McGregor is one of those guys, like, can't really get much better because every week, can't really name any bad Callum McGregor games, can you? He's just 7, 8, 9 out of 10. That's what you get from him. Consummate professional. He just goes out, does his job. Then you look at that pass through. He's brilliant. I play him in any position. He'll do you a job. And then when you see him in the huddle before games as well, he is a leader in that way. He's coming into his own. He's doing his own thing. So he's trying to be him as a captain rather than be Scott Brown, and it's working out well for him. Plus, he's a class player. So
that's it.
Good at the old football is Callum McGregor, isn't he? No, I can't disagree with a single word of that. I'm really happy for him. My initial emotion, obviously, after winning the game was, oh, great, we've won another trophy. But it was one of those weird things where I just couldn't help but be happy for other people.
Once the
selfishness was over, I was like, I'm buzzing for Callum McGregor. Delighted for Ange as well, because, again, it's a discussion we've had many times. I couldn't be more bought in on Ange, and to receive the email that I'm sure everyone watching and listening a lot of people will have received it as well, the big message that we got from, well, signed as Ange Postecoglou, was like nearly in tears sitting in the pub after the game. This is great, but delighted for him. And the names have already come up, but guys like Joe Hart, guys who've never really won trophies before. Joe Hart has, I don't mean him, but guys in the squad who have just come to the country who might not have taken part in title races and trophies before. So I'm couldn't be happier for these guys. It was a great day.
I thought Joe Hart, at his post-match interview as well, he says, look, I might not be the best keeper in the world, but I play with my heart and my sleeve and I give everything for the club, my chest. And Joe Hart's a peculiar. He's not he's no bullshitter at any point, Joe Hart. He's no come up and went, oh, I've always had an affection for Celtic and, you know, this is blah, blah. He's come up and went, look, take a chance on me.
Yeah.
Celtic have taken a chance on me.
Other ABBA hits are available. Yeah.
He's like, Celtic gave me a chance. Celtic,
money was there.
Celtic gave me an opportunity. I was trying to think of, see, the problem is there I try to think of more ABBA puns because I'm not well, my brain's not functioning too well. But he pulled off two good saves for us in the game. And he's just another captain in there. Yeah. He just carries himself so well. There's so many people in this Celtic team now that I feel like I'm like more relaxed. I'm like, aye, you guys actually represent what this club is all about. Ange is obviously one, and we're going to mention Ange. McGregor we've touched on, Kyogo as well. But Joe Hart is just another guy. I'm like, you get it. You get what this club's all about.
That's the whole thing I had with Martin O'Neill. He just came and brought in these players, and I've always said it, for want of a better phrase, they just got it. And I've got that feeling with these players as well. The quality, Kyogo, Cal McGregor, captain, Joe Hart, even like Carter Vickers, just underrated. He's been brilliant.
Yeah.
He's just been so good. Jota coming in. There's been so many good players, and I think when you look at it as well with the turnover of players in the summer with Ange coming in, yes, it's a new beginning, but most of the players we have here, they're all committed to the club. They're all new, or they're all just signed new contracts like Cal McGregor. So it's not as if they're all thinking, like last season, thought it was a good window, but no guys on loan or guys that are a year left in their deal come the end of the season. It was the end of something. Whereas this is, all these guys could be here for 3-4 years, and if we could supplement that with a couple of extra players, we're winning games now when we're men down, we're going through it now, but watching them all yesterday, even like guys like Juranovic was having the time of his life out there.
He got his teeth whitened up, aren't they? Greg Taylor or something was slagging him in one of the post-match interviews.
It's a big day for these guys. You need to be prepared. Joe Hart, with his post-match patter that you've just mentioned, I really enjoyed that. I wasn't aware of that until this morning, the day after when I heard that. That basically summed up and confirmed for me everything we've always been saying about Joe Hart, is that we've bought into his character.
He's a good keeper.
Well, that's going to be my point.
Save shots.
He summed up everything we've been talking about, how he's a big character and he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's obviously aware of that, and he knows that that's what Celtic fans like in a player. I'm sure fans of other clubs do as well.
Yeah.
But we enjoy that. We've had Artur Boric and guys like that. But crucially, he's a very good keeper as well, as you said, and he's been doing his job, because we don't want a mascot. We don't just want a guy between the sticks having a laugh and wearing his heart on his sleeve and having a jolly. He's been doing his job very, very well as well.
I love him. I honestly think he's been brilliant for us. And he was a bit of an underdog. And there was a lot of people wrote, you know, this is going to be a recurring theme maybe on this podcast, but there's a lot of people that wrote Joe Hart off before he came to the club. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, because there was reasons to be sceptical about the signing of Joe Hart. But crucially for me, there was reason to be sceptical of the signing of Joe Hart out in the whole wide world of goalkeepers and all that sort of thing. And, you know, okay, some goalkeeper in Serbia might exist that might have better stats, blah, 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 blah. There was no guarantee we're going to get him. But see, as soon as he came into the club, I was 100% convinced that Joe Hart was going to be a better keeper than what we had already.
Oh,
that doesn't say much for Joe Hart, to be fair.
That doesn't say much for Joe Hart, but there was people out there that doubted it, and people that doubted it up until very recently. And there was, you know, Joe Hart came away from that final. There was some of those saves were Fraser Foster-esque. I think it was Kevin Nisbet when Nisbet took it past
Starfelt twice.
Joe Hart's out there like a flash. Mm. Like immediately he spotted that Starfelt made an arse of it, and he went out, closed the space, did the big Fraser Foster spread. And I thought, it's been ages since we've seen that. We've not seen that since Fraser Foster.
Yeah, and the saves are class, but it's also another guy that's a class act. As soon as the final whistle goes after every game, Joe Hart will go and speak to the opposition goalkeeper for a couple of minutes, chat away.
But he's like, get it fucking up. That's what winning a game's all about.
You need to do better, son.
But it's like, you should see how much money I've got in the bank, by the way. Son, I can buy your ma's. That's what he says to them. He wants to demoralise them for the rest of the season.
He guys them
with his gloved hand on top of their head.
Do you want my gloves, son? Here you go.
Steal that on eBay, make more than you make in a week. That's what he says to them.
But he's even like, he's over at the crowd, they must have people in the stand, and he's over to every player, like hugging them and all that. And you're like, aye, another guy that just gets it, but again, fucking good at football. And that's what we wanted. Good players that are good at football, and we're looking at throughout this team, and they've got Joe Hart, you've got Carter Vickers, McGregor, Rogic and Kyogo. Rogic. The spine of that team is looking really strong, and we just need a couple more additions. But if we can keep that together for a few years, we'll be very successful. And this is just the start, hopefully.
Tom Rogic needs to stop it. He needs to stop it, and he needs to stop it at Hampden.
Because
he absolutely loves it there. I thought Tom Rogic was brilliant again. This, he's found some sort of strength this season. He seems to be much stronger on the ball. And I don't know if, again, this is Ange encouraging him to be more confident in himself, going, hey, take these guys on. You can do this. Don't give it away so easily. Now, negative time. There was a few times in the game where I thought, very wasteful front of goal, took the wrong option so many times. And I thought Tom Rogic was quite guilty of that. But this new thing where he's taking players on, dictating the play, staying in the ball, I really admire it.
He had another big chance, much like the Motherwell game, right? Yeah. He had big chances to basically put it beyond doubt, and he had another big one in this game that he probably should have done better with. It was a kind of slap, really, at goal, and he's done that a couple of times recently.
After Abada did nowhere near skinning his guy, man. Yeah. That was embarrassing, man.
But Rogic's game this season has been tremendous. It's no exaggeration. I think, I don't want to get carried away in the emotion of the cup final, but I don't think it's any exaggeration to say that Rogic, what he's turning in just now, and over the course of the season, not every week, of course, because that's utterly impossible for most players, but it's up there with the best football he's played for Celtic. Right. And he's been here a long time, and he was excellent under Brendan Rodgers. But what he's been turning in this season is not only is he's still got the skill, he's still got big goals. He could do with getting another few goals here and there. He's maybe got three or four this season so far.
He's only two.
Two, right. Pathetic. What a slugger. I take it all back. But he could have had more. He's getting on chances, and I'm sure they'll come. But what we never expected from Tom Rogic was the level of strength and aggression that he shows. He is a guy who seems to be, along with Kyogo, Kyogo's the kind of focal point of it, and he really sort of dictates what goes on going forward, the pressing and everything. He sort of holds all that together. But Tom Rogic is very much leading from the front in that as well. And
the
he's,
partnership him and Kyogo have got, they're on the same wavelength. It's brilliant.
Yeah, pressing and aggressing, as I put it before the game. So he's very, very strong, hard to get off the ball. That's always been the case. But he seems to have this drive and an aggression about him that maybe Ange has brought to him. I don't know. That may be yet another one of those, but both Australian things.
Well, because he's played under Ange, I don't think there's any other manager in the world that would be getting these performances out of Tom Rogic's Celtic. Because I think if another manager came in, probably would have left.
Yeah.
In all honesty, at the end of last season, I was like, right, Griffiths, Beaton and Rogic, I want them out. Yeah. Griffiths, I'm happy he's gone. But Rogic, I'm delighted at the turnaround. He's been brilliant. He's now a mainstay in the team, and I just never thought that would be possible for him, because he is now 29, and we've seen him over the years. Is he going to do it in a pressing team? Well, he can. Shows you players can do it if they believe in the manager and the manager believes in them. And even like Neil Beaton coming on as well, he was great when he came on. Yeah. And that was a guy I thought, don't want to see him in the team, mainly because I don't want to ever see him at centre-half. But in midfield, he can do a job in there, and when he had to do it, he done it.
It's been a good while since Neil Beaton's latest bullshit as well. He hasn't done any nonsense. I've got a chart up and over here. It's been.
Can we just stop this, by the way? Because we are tempted fate. We're tempted. He's going to get sent off against Rangers or something. He does like that.
I absolutely love that. It has been a long time since his nonsense. So yeah, maybe that's in the post. But Neil Beaton, we see when he came on, it was unfortunate circumstance, of course, because he seemed to have picked up yet another injury. Mm. We've yet to hear the full extent of that from a guy who's been playing virtually every game, so that's yet another big difficulty we face. But Neil Beaton came on and looked more intent on getting forward and taking on men than the two wingers did. Yeah. I mean, Mikey Johnson
does
take...
difficult games, certainly, they're having bad
Mikey
games.
Johnson does take on players. It's maybe his decision-making that lets him down at times, but Abada just doesn't. And I don't mean... I know we weren't going to really do that with the wingers today, but I just mean it as a compliment to Beaton. He actually had a bit of drive about him, which you wouldn't normally expect.
That's the team mentality in it. They could say that the wingers were having a difficult game. I did tweet during the game that I thought the only place our goal was going to come from was Rogic to Kyogo. I thought that was the only place the goal was going to come from, because I thought the wingers were just not doing it for us, and then subsequently that's where it came from. So I'm always right. Is the point there?
The point
I was making there.
It's hard facts. You can't argue with science.
Why do you think I've sat in this chair?
It's those two.
So from our looks, just
definitely. It's those two classy midfielders ahead of Beaton that played the ball through for Kyogo. The two assists are brilliant, and it's just quick thinking. It's been better than your counterparts, and it's having faith that Kyogo will make that run and you can find him. I just, like, the finishes from the guy were unbelievable, but that will maybe take away from the assist. Like, the ball from Rogic is pinpoint for him. Absolutely incredible.
I still can't believe the extent to which those Hibs, see if you're going to come out and complain about the goal. I'm doing a wee rewind here, right? But you've just don't fall asleep. The whole team fell asleep.
And primary school stuff.
Yeah, none of them were alert to Kyogo. Not a single one of them. No wonder they're hurt because it's a cup final and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, geez, oh man, all of them fell asleep to Kyogo. The most dangerous player on the pitch, you're just letting them.
That's it, because Johnson and Abada were having such poor games that you only need to mark that guy. That's the only guy you need to get. And they let him away twice and punished him. And that's what he does when you've got a guy that good. Look, sometimes he's not in games. One is a cup, two goals out of absolute class.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about the man that brings it all together.
Aw, Dad.
Just listen, listen. Can you hear that noise? That is the sound of hundreds of thousands of tweets being deleted about Ange Postecoglou. Not from us. Not from us. I would never do that. I would never go back. Look, I think a lot of people doubted Ange. One of the famous phrases, not from Celtic fans, mostly from Rangers fans, was that he'll be gone by Christmas. But there was a lot of people worried about Ange and what he was going to bring. A lot of people were questioning the board's intent and all this sorts of stuff about who is this guy? What's he doing near the club? And do you know what? Initial takeaways, who is this guy and what's he doing here?
Board, yes, man.
Probably fair enough. Yeah, but if you, for example, tweeted this guy, if you totally character assassinated the guy the minute he walked in the door by calling him a board, yes, man, we have the receipts.
Yeah, just happy to be here and all that. Yeah, part. The biggest job he's ever going to get, etc. He's just going to be happy and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
And that's fair enough. A lot of journalists and pundits and all that sort of stuff weren't keen on him. And Ange knew that. Well, first press conference, he was asked, you know, how do you feel about being second choice? And showed a great deal of humility by saying, look, I could have been fourth choice. I don't care. I'm here to do a job. I love the guy.
Yeah.
I cannot. There's the mentality that Ange's got, the no BS, the work ethic, his approach to the game, the way he conducts himself, the way he leads this club, the way he's got our team playing. I honestly think we have won a watch with this guy. Now, whether it was blind luck, whether it was an inspired appointment, it's probably the latter, depends on what way you want to look at it. However he ended up at the club, I don't really care.
No, he gives a shit.
I don't give a shit how he ended up with the club. I don't know how he ended up here. But the fact of the matter is we've got a bloody good manager on our hands.
Well, on the way back from the game, we were talking about Ange and Stephen was... I think it was a phone and actually we were talking about stuff from his book, but we'll go on to that. But when we were walking back from the game, we had a look at, he was like, oh, Cancelo's scored for Man City, and we were talking about a fantasy team. So I was like, oh, who are they playing? He's like, they pumped Newcastle 4-0. So there's wee Eddie Howe getting absolutely sculled at the weekend, and Ange's got his hands in the first trophy. So it just shows how things can change about. But when you go about the board, yes men and all that, like, Stephen said it in his book. He's like, I've not backed jobs because it wouldn't be right for me if I'm going to go in there and I can't do what I need to do to get to it. And this board, yes, man, like, I don't really get it for people because why would somebody take a job that they're going to fail in if that's going to be the reason? But with Ange, everything about him, like Stephen said, when I was reading out that email, he was nearly in tears. I could hardly read it. It was just another guy with a touch of class, and he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low. He said, look, it's been some ride already. I've not really had time to think on it. I just come in and I try and do my best every day to make this team as good as it can be. And the words he was talking about us as fans as well, you're like, ah, another one. He just gets it, and he's just quality.
He reminds me of Fergie.
Yeah,
I'm saying it. Yeah. He's got that old school Scottish manager
Barry
mentality
Ferguson,
about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Clip this, better than Fergie. So
I'll still say it. There you go.
But he does sort of feel like that sort of godfather figure, doesn't he? Because he's came in, he's basically had to have been. Because
the scenes with Kyogo.
Aye, aye.
At the end of the game. Do you
see the tweet? I can't remember who tweeted it, so forgive me for not crediting it, but there was a brilliant one where, you know, Kyogo's like on his shoulder with his head buried in his head.
I know
shoulder.
What you're going to say. Aye.
It's a New Year's party and the Wayne's fast asleep or something. Yeah. You're leaving a New Year's party at 5 a.m. Aye, the Wayne's at that light. Aye, but absolutely brilliant.
It's just as well, like, if we had got Ange, if we hadn't got Ange in, we would have never got Kyogo. And you're thinking about, there's no two better people to be at Celtic now than these two guys. And it just seems like, right, we've won a watch with this guy. Let's give him the tools to do it, because as I keep saying, this could be a special time for Celtic.
But he's we're lucky we don't have Eddie Howe, Stephen, because see, when you look at the way Eddie Howe approached the Celtic recruitment process about coming to get the job and all this stuff about can he get his backroom staff.
I need my friends. I hoped I would never hear those two words again.
And all that, right? But see, if you look at the challenges that Ange's had to deal with up until that point, there is no way a man who couldn't deal with the challenge of not getting his second fitness coach in the door could have dealt with the subsequent challenges. So, forget Eddie Howe, he's barely worth talking about, but I'm only saying that to point out that the qualities Ange has got and that he's brought to this job are exactly what we need at the moment.
Well, you look at the very specific things. We spoke about this on the last Friday phone-in that we recorded. You look at the specific things that you can attribute purely to Ange Postecoglou, never mind the speculation, because you could talk about how much he's improved Rogic and Ralston. The truth is, we don't know. We're just guessing that. But we know for a fact that he brought Kyogo to the club. We know for a fact he had a huge hand in bringing Joe Hart to the club, as much as it's been framed as he just simply had to take Joe Hart or whatever nonsense it was at the time. We know from both men that Joe Hart was convinced by Postecoglou. He just said, look, I want you to come and be our keeper. I want to play football. And there it was. So that's two enormous signings we can attribute purely to Postecoglou. If Eddie Howe comes at the club, those things don't happen. Maybe Joe Hart does. I don't know. But Kyogo certainly doesn't. We're not sitting in this position. We're playing with a Yeti up front, probably, or whatever. So I'm very, very thankful that Postecoglou has come.
I really do hope a Yeti gets fit, though, by the time the transfer window comes on.
Oh, even if it's for the last day. the last day, some training montages of him on the last day. But Ange Postecoglou is far bigger. He's a better fit as a Celtic personality as well. I don't want to be disrespectful to Eddie Howe, but the fact is he shat it. And he's a deceitful coward, allegedly. But no disrespect intended. But Postecoglou, he ticks every box. And what we said after the game as well, when we were recording a wee post-match with a wee pint as well, you can tell the difference between Postecoglou and Rodgers. With Rodgers, it was all, this is kind of what the fans want to hear. But Postecoglou almost draws back from that, and he gives us what we want to hear anyway. It's effortless with him. Rogers was trotting out just a kind of
light tunnel.
The routine. he was doing a character with his. Postecoglou isn't, but I don't mean to single out tweets and stuff you get on forums, but the reason I bring it up is this.
Tweets on forums, okay, Dad.
Tweets on forums. On the Facebooks. But I merely bring these things up to just draw a complete contrast with how I feel about how this season is going. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. Truth is, I could be sitting here looking ridiculous at the end of the season when it's all going completely off the rails, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the journey of it. And I do see things that it's individuals at the end of the day, but we've had things shared in our Discord group and in group chats about how people are just like, nah, he's not winning yet. Even having won a cup final now, it's just like, aye, but that's expected. And I'm just like, I kind of feel pity for these people. I want to just say, just go to a game and experience it and see if you still feel like that. Because I find it very difficult to believe that anyone who's buzzing to go along and watch this team play and buzzing to tune in to these press conferences, the likes of which I've never done before. I don't really care about press stuff generally, but I've tuned in to hear every single word Ange says this season. I find it difficult to believe that anyone is still just not enjoying this season and is sitting digging in on a snap decision that was made based on not having heard the guy.
If you at this point haven't bought into Ange Postecoglou and what he's brought to our club and what he's brought to Celtic, and not just the man, not just his approach to the his like philosophy and the way he handles himself and the players he's brought in, and even the style of play, even the way he's approaching these games, we go for it.
Yep.
We don't stop. Those words are so true. We do not stop. We are not going anywhere. You know, you never think the Celtic team are down. You never think the Celtic team are out. See if you're not bought into them at this point. All it is stubbornness. All it is you made your mind up at the beginning of the season about Ange Postecoglou and you're just too stubborn to change it because there's no reason now. There was a weight of expectation on that game. There was a real weight of expectation on that game. We needed to come away with a win. We needed to get back to winning ways. And I know the League Cup isn't necessarily the trophy everyone wants to win. It's not the glamorous one. You know, people say you only win it, you know, just to make up the treble and all that. But plenty of players in the past, Chris Sutton's one of them, have spoken about how winning that League Cup sometimes turns your season around. Yeah. It gives you confidence. It pushes you on for the rest of the season. It gives you a high carrying them in. And we've got some important games coming up. And, you know, thinking about where we were when the day Ange walked in the door to today, still being in touch and distance of Rangers and everything that's happened in between, all the injuries and all the stuff, and to get one trophy in the cabinet already, I think he's done a brilliant job.
Oh, there's so many narratives behind it as well, because it could easily have turned if we'd have lost that game. Big game bottler, McGregor's no got it as a captain, told you Postecoglou wasn't the man. Told you Starfelt
people
wasn't
good. People
were
waiting to write those stories. Oh, yeah. Those stories were being waiting to written.
Tapping away. As soon as that goal went in.
We know who would have wrote them as well, so you're just waiting on that to come out. But remember what we were told at the start of the season? They're not your friends. A wise man. A wise man. But there's also the flip side to that, where a trophy in the bag, so he doesn't need to worry about that. He's already a trophy winning manager. Cal McGregor's already a trophy winning captain.
Already matched Steven Gerrard's trophy haul.
Mr. Gerrard to you, son. And you've got Kyogo, like, we've got the Fraser Forster final, we've got the Edward final. Mm. This is the Kyogo final, like, superstar, and not even in the making. We're watching a superstar there now, and you're just like, I can't believe it. If somebody's not on board for the ride now, I don't know what it will take.
I'm absolutely buzzing for the rest of the season. Listen, that was the cup final. It's Christmas time. You see these presents on the table here? That's not just for show listeners. We have bought each other presents. Yep. Yay, podcast was. I noticed there are only four presents on the table. That must mean there's two missing.
I just didn't wrap them.
Oh, you didn't wrap them?
Urge everyone to tune into the video for this as well, because if you're just listening to audio, which a lot of people still do, obviously there's a video version of this available, in which we're going to exchange gifts. And just before we get started, right, it's the spirit of Christmas and all that, guys. I don't want you to be intimidated by the absolutely staggering presents that I've bought you. I don't want you to feel like you have to compete, and I just want to say you're welcome before we open these.
I just want you to say mine are shite. Yeah.
So what I've done is, for the presents that I've bought Stephen and Melly here, I bought presents that I think reflect your hobbies and your personalities.
Right.
So we'll go first, Melly. This is yours.
Oh,
that's for you, Melly. Merry Christmas, Stephen.
Oh, thanks.
That present.
Thanks. What a book.
Represents your hobbies and personality.
Sound effect here.
Yeah, there we go. So,
it's a grumpy cat calendar.
I bought you, Stephen, you like cats.
Yep.
You're a bit grumpy. So I bought you the grumpy cat 2022 calendar. And if you notice here, Stephen, yeah, there you go. Hold it up to the camera. There you go. Lovely. What is and sensational, Melly?
The official nine in a row story Celtic one. He's not even taking the sale logo completely, sale label completely off.
If you contact me after the show, Melly, I will sign that for you. No questions asked. Absolutely sensational. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, guys.
Do you want these passed out?
Yeah, please, Melly.
This is really good for the audio listener.
Yeah, that one's yours, man.
What's this one for me?
Yours,
yeah. Oh, feels heavy.
Yep. Expensive stuff.
Feels heavy. I like how these are typically, you can tell these have been wrapped by a man. Mine and yours. Oh, a picture frame. Steve, what have I got? Who the fuck is that? It's Tyler Blackett. You've got me a framed autographed picture of Tyler Blackett.
Yeah, there's your certificate of authenticity.
Oh fuck, I nearly ripped. I nearly ripped. It was worthless without this. It would be worthless without this. There we go. He's actually signed it as well. Yep, there's no way that's a fake.
And there's a little bonus prize in there as well. Did you find the bonus
present? Yeah, I've got it in my hand. I'm just going to reveal it. This is Zombies Can He Count 55 My Heart Is, and it's fucking Bart Simpson. It's a badge. I'm going to hold this up to the camera.
There you go.
Ah, fucking brilliant. That is. I'll put that beside the bed.
Zombies Can He Count 55 My Arse. And it's a picture of Bart Simpson holding a towel over his bottom.
Absolutely sensational. Okay, Melly, what does Stephen get you?
The Celtic Supporters songs, The Dance Anthems.
It's a CD.
It's a CD. Hold it up to the camera, Melly.
14 tunes, dance tune. You'll Never Walk Alone, dance tune. I wonder who that
is. It's got a sexy lady on the front. Yes.
Before we move on, my favourite part of this CD is that it states clearly on the back of it, Celtic Football Club neither sponsors nor is affiliated with this album.
Oh, is that not official Celtic merchandise? Unbelievable. Look at that girl on the front. So bad, right? There's the... for the camera. Okay.
Now, Stephen, spoil a wee bit of my present, but it's an Henri Camara Pro Stars.
Oh, did you buy yourselves? I hope you didn't get the same gift. I'm going to take Oh, this is what Christmas is all about,
the
ladies and gentlemen.
True spirit of Christmas.
Henri Camara, he's even got the wee sweatband on there. I've not seen a big head for a while. Wow. Oh, this is a collector's item as well. Melly, with the carrier bag, didn't even bother to wrap it.
Right, Jamie, this is yours, but I've also got something else for you. And Stephen, the thing I was getting for you didn't show up.
That old chestnut.
It is a signed, framed Christian Gamboa picture.
That's amazing.
But I've got you something, Jamie, that is part of yours.
Let's see. Oh, Charlie Mulgrew.
Chuckles Mulgrew.
I've got to say, doesn't look anything like Charlie Mulgrew, does it?
No, nothing. No. That
could be anybody.
So I've got you a wee replacement in the meantime, Stephen. And just so happened, you mentioned this man in the Friday phone-in. A wee photo just to keep you going. Danny.
Oh, look at that. That is astonishing.
That is an
offensively beautiful Danny there, the Portuguese sensation mentioned on the Friday phone-in just this week.
I'm pretty offended, by the way. That is definitely...
So bad, isn't it?
That's not Charlie Mulgrew. I think that's a reconstituted Mark Burchill or something. Look at that. It's definitely not Charlie Mulgrew.
Stephen,
yes.
It's that time of year again. The most important time of the year.
The most important birthday of the year.
Yes, it is.
It's the most wonderful. How self-indulgent is this segment of the podcast?
I know. That's the same fucking gate you got me last year.
I'm going to get it every year.
Oh, thanks, guys. Okay, that's good. Way. Oh, you're going to set.
Yeah.
File. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Listen. Thanks very much. Oh, great. So,
go make a wish.
Should we be blowing only three candles because I've turned 30? That's right. Okay, I make a wish. I wish to be the best, most successful, most loved Celtic podcast ever.
That's not going to come true. Right.
That's for something realistic.
Thank you, guys. Okay. Now that we've got the Oxford pleasantries out of the way, we can go on to the cut and thrust of Celtic versus Ross County.
Oof.
We don't go anywhere. We've got the League Cup in the bank, but the most important thing is definitely the league.
Well,
and I'll tell you something, Stephen. I was worried.
Oh yeah, I'll go one further than that. See, before that, obviously, astonishing goal goes in the 97th minute, and it is a minimum injury time they play. It's not exactly that it comes out. It's a minimum before they get a carded.
As we've seen yesterday.
Yeah. Before that goal went in, I thought, oh, this is a big moment here. I wouldn't go as far to say as I thought the league was gone, but I thought this is going to be very difficult to come back from this.
Can I tell you? I can go one further than that. I'm going to a little confession here, a little confessional for the listeners. Ross County were selling the game for 15 quid. I thought, nah, not for me, Jeff. I'm just going to go out and get it on a website, right? And I found it on a website and my stream cut off. And you know, quite often if you're watching a stream, it will cut off right on full time. It will cut off, and that's what happened. It cut off at 1-1. And I thought, bugger. And I actually opened up the 20 Minute Times Twitter account to tweet something along the lines of, can't believe blah, blah, blah. And all I saw was, oh my God, oh my God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was like, please no, onto the Discord, everyone's cheering. I was like, oh my God, scrambling to find it, refreshing that.
There was a moment on the Discord as well. The Discord is a kind of group for patrons.
One of the best people.
That we have. It's a kind of like forum for our patrons. And one person said yes. And everyone was like, right, you're at it. Don't do that, because that's your order. Because everyone at that point was... when you've got streams, even if you've bought the pay-per-view, you might be a couple of minutes behind or whatever. Yeah. So everyone's looking at the Discord saying, that's out of order, saying that the ass if you're at the wind-up here. But it turned out it was some betting site had published that a goal had gone in. So that basically...
And they're always ahead.
So it was like, it was chaos in there and absolute bedlam. Scenes in the stadium as well. But joking aside... What an enormous moment for the season that was. And again, ahead of the cup final as well, we could have gone into that off a deflating draw that really would have been a huge blow to the title race as well. Because what would have been... the problem
seven
is, and the problem is that they just keep winning just now, and we are playing for snookers, and they go into January the 2nd knowing that avoiding defeat basically busts our bubble rate. So all these things are going through my head. And then for Tony Ralston to pop up with that huge moment, no exaggeration, a huge possible turning point for this season, that goal going in.
Psychologically, right? Even we just will not. Rangers must be looking at us going, they're not going anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter. Injuries, pre-season disasters, injuries to key players over and over again, players dropping like flies. It doesn't matter what happens. We are right on their coattails and we're not going anywhere. And Rangers must think, right, okay, we've got their 3 points. And all those Rangers fans sit down, all those Rangers players, sorry, and staff, and fans as well, sit down waiting for us to drop points. And even that, Heder would have deflated them, would have burst so many bubbles.
Yeah, it's tremendous, and it's no exaggeration to say, I think if Celtic win the league this year, a big if, but if they do, that could be the game you look back on and go, do you know what, that was it, because look, the depleted squad, down to 10 men, the 97th minute, and you just need that wee bit of quality, and also... that bit of desire. Anthony Ralston wanted that more than anybody on that pitch.
Oh, yeah.
The way he got up and put it away, it was absolutely tremendous. And you're looking on the pitch and you know what? That guy deserves that. He deserves that, because you can talk about Ange and how he's brought Ralston on, but at the end of the day, a manager can help a player as much as he wants, but if the player doesn't just give everything and give 100% every day, it's not going to happen for him. But it seems to be Anthony Ralston's done that, and just... that moment, like the cup final was special, absolutely brilliant, but domestic in a league game, I've not felt that emotion, relief, joy in a single second when that ball hit the back of the net. And I was a mug and paid the £15 for Ross County, so you missed out on Stephen Craigan's commentary.
No, I got the Ross County feed, a dodgy one. No, so I didn't miss out on Stephen Craigan crying for 90 minutes.
The pain in his voice. Stephen, I don't even think he's ever played for Ross County, has
no.
he?
No.
No, but he seemed to be a big fan of him that night. So,
see, to give him the benefit of the doubt if I could do such a thing, because I don't want to, because he did the exact same commentary style for the cup final. I just thought, is this because he's on Ross County TV, he feels like he needs to bum them up, like Celtic TV commentators maybe would, if that's what he's doing. But the level of greeting coming out of that commentary box was unparalleled. I've not had anything like it since, I don't know, Princess Diana's funeral or something.
Bet Craigan was gutted at that one as well.
He was as well.
I thought Craigan was shocking, to be honest. I don't really pay attention much to these things, and I get that it's an in-house club thing, right, as club media, but as you say, didn't he play for them? And he's just a hired gun for their media team.
Good as well.
And some of the crap he was talking, and it was something that really got on my nerves at the time. Mel, you discussed it on a podcast after the game as well. Ross County kept kicking the ball away at free kicks, right? And no one's got any business touching the ball at free kicks. It's a booking, right? Everybody knows it's a booking to kick the ball away. And even if you just tap it away, you should be booked for it, because you've got no business doing that, and all you have done is deliberately obstructed the taking of a free kick. But Craigan was like defending it and saying, oh, he's only tapped it about 10 yards. I'm like, what's your cut-off there? You don't have to boot it into the stand. He was really, really annoying me, and it was almost like they'd hired, I don't know, like Derek Johnston or something like that. It was a really, really weird commentary. I get that Celtic TV is very, very biased as well, and I have my own problems with that at times. It's a little bit insulting towards our intelligences at times, but Tom Boy's just a pure massive Tim. Yeah. What's Craigan's excuse for? He never played for Ross County at all, but I've already wasted too many brain calories on him so far.
I mean, as I said, we don't need to go over it again, but that game represented a massive worry for me, and I think you're right, Mel. I think it will be depending on how the season goes, but if we end up winning the league this season, that will be an enormous turning point. And again, it just goes to show how much faith and belief that this team have got in Ange. Just kept going, kept trying.
We don't stop.
No.
We don't stop.
And it always comes back to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's just he's drilled this into the players from day one, and this is what happens. We've seen so many Celtic, like, there was a lot of nonsense after the game as well about celebrating a win against Ross County. What is the point in this fun police stuff? Like, it doesn't matter any context. Any team that gets a last minute winner has every right to celebrate the way they want, because you don't in that instant go, oh, hold on a minute, should I be celebrating this? It's just relief and joy. And
let me weigh up the context of this.
Can I just put you into the mindset of the person that you're talking about? It was Tom English, the BBC guy, Tom English, who, as soon as the game finished, decided to use his time and his platform to promote Scottish football and basically get into arguments with Celtic fans on Twitter, basically telling them, you shouldn't be celebrating this, you didn't win against Bayern Munich. Several tweets going on about how Celtic should have won, and you know, they had internationals on the pitch and injuries don't matter, yada, 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 all that sort of stuff. There was he spent a lot of time on Twitter doing that. Do you know how much time he spent on Twitter after Celtic won the cup?
Equal time.
No, not a single tweet. Not one tweet did he bother tweeting about a National Cup final. Didn't bother wasting any of his time on it. So this mad bitterness, as you say, fun police, doesn't matter what team you support. That was a game of football trademark. You know, that was an exciting game of football. Maybe not so for Ross County. Malky Mackay wasn't happy. Didn't use any gamer words this time. You know, kept the language quite clean. So he did. He said that the referee was going to play until Celtic scored, which I found remarkable because, you know, I thought the referee was shocking.
Yeah. Again, it's a Starfelt had a bad game, but the sending off.
A bizarre sending off for me.
Yeah, it is, because having seen it back again, it's clear that he's dissenting towards the ref, but I think the ref probably could have taken into account the fact that his face smashed in. Yeah. So Joe Hart was on the scene, and he was very visibly telling Starfelt to stop doing whatever he was doing towards the ref, because he could tell that he was going to talk himself into trouble, which he did. But I still think there was a bit of room for, right, well, the situation is as it is. He's had his face smashed. We'll all just start the game again without booking him. Fair enough. But I understand why he was booked, if he's maybe said something completely out of order to the ref. The second one is probably a booking, but I don't know.
But this is it. It wasn't that. It's that consistency thing again, isn't it? There was so much going on in the game. You think, well, if that's a booking, then if that's a red card, then there should be these things happening all over the pitch.
Yeah, there was one in the Hibs game yesterday, very early on, the first couple of minutes. It was a shocking challenge, and it was a talking to. Yeah, that guy can make another two challenges after that now instead of booking him. The referee was a bit card happy yesterday, and during the week again, it was weird performances from referees. But and Craigan as well. He said something about claret doesn't mean that it's automatically a foul. This is before even seeing the replay. Then you see the replay, and the guy's clearly elbowed him in the face. You're like, these things, if VAR was in place, well, maybe would they get sent off? But again, this is just, okay, we're down to 10 men. Mm. We are depleted as anything, bringing on Owen Moffat to try and get us a goal. But we didn't give up. We kept going to the end, and we got that goal by hook or by crook, and we stayed in there. And I think that has a knock-on effect, because if we don't win that game, cup final doesn't turn out the way it was, maybe Kyogo changes something, says, I need to play. Whereas after that, he was like, right, I can go and play this game now. There was no pressure on him. So I think it just, as you always say, Stephen, the best way to win your next game is to win the previous game. And just had a momentum that Celtic are sort of building towards. We're playing well, but we're winning these tight games. And that's just as good as beating teams 5-0 sometimes, because you can go and go, if the game lasts 95 minutes, we can go right to the end and get a goal. And now we're a team that scores late goals. That'll play on teams' mind as well. Like, we don't stop, and we will not stop until we get the goal.
And Stephen, look, we've discussed many a time in the podcast, and we discussed a couple of months ago, you know, what is success for Ange? And we said, one trophy and within touching distance of Rangers come the end of the season. That's what we drew the line. Come the end of the season, we want to at least one trophy and touching distance.
Given the context at the time,
So we've got the one trophy. This win keeps us in touching distance of Rangers. Still a lot of tricky games coming up. Who's it? St Mirren Wednesday,
St Johnstone, Boxing Day, Hibs, and the following Wednesday, then the Big Bears.
Yeah, so Angie, I know Angie says, we don't stop, but the games don't stop. No, it's no time to sort of...
Well, unless they do, right enough.
Well, unless they do, yeah, but there's no time to sort of sit back and enjoy these. It's just next game, next game, next game.
That's it, and I imagine Ange will have basically allowed the players to celebrate as much as they like. I don't mean, I'm not talking about getting gotten on it. Mm. I'm not talking about going to Ibiza or anything like that, but I'm...
going to Open Goal.
Yeah.
Going to Dubai.
Savour it.
I hope Dubai's nice this time of year.
Savour it as much as you can, but that's it. We draw a line under it, and it's all about the next game, and it's all about the league games now, because you can't afford to dwell on these things. It's always changing, so we simply just need to get back on the train, back focused, and time for the next game.
And to end the week of good news, Bernard Higgins is not getting a job at the club. Yes. So... however that came about, don't know, he released a statement saying that he wasn't going to join Celtic, so that's just another thing that we can get on board with. We don't have to worry about that. And season of goodwill to all men, to most men, and but all women.
I think that works out quite well.
There we go. Season of goodwill to not all men and all women. Melly, we've reached the end of the podcast. It's the Christmas season. We would just like to say, from all of us, thank you so much for listening to us throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
We should do that together, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Merry Christmas. And leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, and leave comments on YouTube saying, I want a badge, with leaving your Twitter handle in the that's a small print there.
Yeah, that is a small print. Actually, just as Stephen touched on there, if you're still watching and listening, I'm going to give away 4 badges.
Oh, Santa
Claus.
Hey, I'm going to give away 4 badges this week. If you want a gold 20-minute Tim's badge, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Podcast Addict. Leave your Twitter name so we can contact you and give you that badge. If you're watching this on YouTube, just write in the comments below, I want a badge. Leave your Twitter name so we can contact you, and we'll send out 4 badges this week. Geeing that away. Absolutely geeing that away. Listen, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you want to support us, patreon.com/20minutetims. Goodbye from me, Jamie.
Goodbye from me, Stephen.
Goodbye from me, Melly.
Thanks for watching and listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.